the right. little video and everything. And I think my point, like before we started the interview yesterday, Chris was saying, so, you know, he's kind of talking to Harper of like, this is why I started all this. This is right. 'cause of you, right. you know, and that was adorable. So just to leave her in as part of the audio was.
Yes, essential. Because I think even with the Civil Beat article, you know, telling a story around the statistics makes people understand it. So I can keep repeating these statistics, which are really important. But when you have a legend like Chris Pico come on as a ocean safety officer talking about what he does and how he tries to keep people safe while he has his family and the family's mm-hmm. in talking to us on his day off,
yeah,
really hits home.
Yeah, it was a really special interview, I thought.
Yes.
And really good actionable information. And so what we can take away as listeners to just keep yourselves safe, keep your family safe. And then here's why. You can download that Pulse Point app if you choose to do so. You can go to your app store and see what that's all about. I just did it while we were listening. It took me 30 seconds to do. And it, you know, because my phone knows everything about me and where I'm at and stuff. So it very much helped me out to do that. And so I'm loving it. So we're about to start our second hour of the deep dive into water safety. With another legend, Chad Lissman. He's calling yes. right now. Don't give up on us, Chad. We're going to do some top of the hour stuff, and we'll be talking to you too. And thank you one more time for listening to Kauai Community Radio. It's KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, and a very important show that we are doing in partnership with the Kauai Lifeguard Association. Margaret is the host of this show, and Kauai Community Radio believes in starting these conversations so that we can keep people safe and give them the tools and resources they need to do so. On the phone line right now, we've got Chad Lissman. Hi, Chad.
Oh, hi.
Good morning, Chad. It's Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret.
Well, thank you for joining us. Before we start this again, because this is actually 2 hours, the first last hour we had Chris Pico because our time went so long and he had so much valuable information. But I first want to go back and say why we're doing this show. We're doing this show because we know that we have some statistics that have not been so great that were showcased in the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. Hawaii has the second highest drowning rate. Fewer than 2% of second graders statewide have basic water safety skills. Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders represent 36% of drownings, but make up only 27% of the population. And on Kauai, 3/4 of drowning victims are visitors. So based on that, we know that we live on this beautiful island, and with beauty comes responsibility. Our island is rooted in a culture that honors the ocean. Our Hawaiian traditions are filled with expert watermen and waterwomen who live with deep respect for the sea. And we're incredibly fortunate to have world-class lifeguards and firefighters with the Ocean Safety Bureau who are really the rock stars that protect our lives every day. And that's what is said in the Water Safety Plan, because when we asked the mayor in our first episode, you know, here's some dire statistics, what's the good news? And he pointed to you. He pointed to the guards and what is going on. And you truly are world-class professional people that help keep everybody safe. And the message we have is drowning is preventable. And the more we can talk about this, the more we can get support for what is important for the next generation of keeping people safe and knowing how to stay safe in the ocean. So with that, Chad, you're our second legend, and I've known you for several decades. And I also looked you up, and there's a lot of information on you. And it says that Chad Lissman serves as the North District Lieutenant for Kauai Ocean Safety. He leads lifeguard operations across the island's North Shore, coordinating rescue missions, training, public education campaign on ocean safety. And then there's a huge list of things that you've been involved with rescues, even one with Chris Pico. You lead beach patrol clinics and live demonstrations across the North Shore, focusing on rip current identification, swimmer rescue response, and emergency prevention. And you work closely with the Hawaiian Lifeguard Association to provide on-site education to both residents and visitors. So you are a legend. How are you this morning, Chad? I really appreciate you coming on. Tell me something about your background. How long have you done this, Chad?
I think I started back in 2002. But, I mean, really, it's where Pico and I grew up. We grew up at the beach rescuing people from kids, you know, from Paluma High Beach, rescuing full-grown adults when we were, like, in grade school. You know, give them a boogie board and we could swim in and tell them where to go. It's all... That's kind of what we're doing now, you know, with the junior guards and stuff. Yeah, to get back on track. Ocean safety for about 23 years. Getting close to retirement. Job is getting hard. Body is breaking down. We suffer a lot of injuries and stuff, so it's been a long haul. Not ready to give it up yet, but we'll see.
Can we mention that you're working with the union? Is that something that you can mention now? Or no?
Yeah, that's totally fine. I have supported the union for a long time. I've been a steward in the past. Currently, I'm the Kauai representative for our negotiating team. Pretty much fight for better pay and safer, you know, workplace, everything. Everything goes with it.
Exactly. Exactly. It, as I said in the beginning, I think a lot of people have a thought in their mind, maybe on the mainland or whether in certain places, that a lifeguard is somebody who has it as a summer job. The lifeguards in Hawaii are really professional and world class. I know that you have trained water people from Japan that have come over here to learn about skills that the Hawaii lifeguards have. Is that correct?
Yeah, the department has. That's my chief's one of his things. He's about spreading water safety across the world, helping right. where he can. Our training department did host, I think, a dozen Japanese lifeguards. They were awesome. We put them through all kinds of testing and training and skills, and I'm sure we learned a few things on our side. We're doing it here, and Bonnie's doing it global. So,
I mean, the CDC and the World Health Organization is seeing drowning as a world crisis, and so it's important that we all know what we're doing and we work together. Hawaii and Kauai, as we're talking to now, does have world-class guards, and we really appreciate that, and we want people to understand that what you have to say to people about the oceans and staying safe, people really need to take seriously. And as a community, we all have a responsibility to help each other. I mean, that has been said to me by Dwayne DeSoto 2 years ago, and I have kept it in my head ever since, that whether you paddle or surf or fish or boat, that you have a responsibility to be safe and to help others be safe. And that, in effect, helps you do your job better. Are there any stories? Because Chris was telling us some of the stories that have impacted him. Is there anything that you would like to share with us? Because telling stories really brings all this to life so people can go, wow, now I understand better about how serious drowning is. And that, you know, for every drowning that happens, there's probably two or three non-fatal drownings that end up in the emergency room that was pointed out in this last Civil Beat article, which talks about how our residents are drowning. And most of us were quite unaware that we had that many residents in situations that put their lives at danger. Is there any rescue you'd like to talk about? Or
we see so many heavy things that our brains really try to forget how dangerous it was, how scary it was, because of the same thing next week. I do remember one time we did this Queen's Bath rescue, and we did save the guy, a very large Asian. He was probably 6'1". He got swept off the rocks with all his stuff. When I arrived on scene to set it up, the waves were about 10 feet Hawaiian, so 12 to 15 foot faces out of the northwest. It was a dangerous day. We responded from Maui Pavilion. Once the call came in, Station 1, Engine 1 responded to Queen's Bath on the road. A fireman ran down, jumped in. When we arrived on scene, there was a fireman already in the water with actually one of KLA's rescue tubes. Victim was in bad shape. He was all beat up. Hit his head a couple times on the rocks. He was out of energy. One of my best friends was there. Jody Simpson. He's a fireman. He also was a lifeguard for about 10 years before he transferred into the fire department. So he's been in heavy stuff before. And I joke about it. When I first swam in there, Jody was, he was a little excited. So I swam in. We tried to swim this large guy out a couple times. Kept getting flushed back into the cove. This wasn't the normal cove. This was more towards Kilauea side. It's off to the right as you walk down the trail. So it was a different cove than we're used to. Didn't really realize how big it was until actually I saw the aerial view, a photograph of the area that day, and with the wave washing over the rocks, the outer wall of rocks, and it was about 15 feet high. And to see the water washing over the rocks, I was like, oh, right, it was coming over that rock. And you can actually see how big the area was and how dangerous it really was. We did try to swim them out a few times. We kept getting pushed back into the cove. We got lucky with a little lull, and the operator that day was Justin Omo, and I waved him to come in, and he zipped right in. We flipped the ski around inside the cove, loaded the guy. Jody jumped on, I jumped on, and we slowly made our way out of the cove. And we actually had to time it because there's this lower wall that we had to go over. It was kind of closed off to the ocean unless a wave came over it. And we got outside. I locked the guy in. Jody had to stay back due to the weight issues on the ski and how many people could fit on it. I think Mark Beebe was actually on the ski also with me, helping me with the victim. Three people on the sled was enough. We left one guy back. Yeah, it was rough. I mean,
and this was at least 10 years ago, correct?
Yeah, probably about 10 years. I've been off the ski for about 6 years since the flood. My body was just getting too beat up.
What time of year was this, Chad?
You know what? This was winter months, so I would guess it was in November.
What was somebody doing at Queen's Bath in the winter months? Is this before we had it locked off or whatever?
Access has always been easy to go around. This was probably before the patrol was actually... the parking devices, it's probably before they were actually doing a lot of that. It was kind of just a free-for-all back then. We drive by a big day.
So we could talk about these black spots and difficult places, and obviously Queen's Bath is one of those. How long did that take? Because just telling us seemed like it was forever. And
it probably really took. It probably, the response there was 3 minutes or so. My operator was... He was driving pretty fast, almost too fast for me to hold on to. So I had to yell at him. He slowed down a little bit. And I asked him after, how fast was he going? He's like, oh, going about 46. But he was driving good, man. He was linking these waves, triple linking these 10-foot swells. Just he was flawless. But that's what it is. We try to get there as fast as possible. Probably in the water. We're probably in there for about, I would say, 8 to 10 minutes, getting washed around. And then we got it back on the ski. It probably took us about 6, 7, 8 minutes to get back. The big guy was, he was big, and we weren't picking him up, definitely, too. So we had to utilize our quick thinking, and we detached the sled that rides on the back of the jet ski. It's kind of like a big boogie board. Basically used it as a backboard to carry this guy up to the rig where the medics are waiting. And then he lived. I mean, he was crying, and he was on the back of the ski. Thought he was going to die. He was crying and all kinds of stuff.
That affects you as a guard rescuing people and saving people's lives.
I don't think it does. It may affect Pico. I think I'm a different breed. It's hard. I don't know how I'm supposed to act when I see people almost die or I see that they do die. It's rough.
There was something I read in the little list that came out that you and Pico saved 4 people's lives at Anini 1 year. Do you remember that rescue?
Gosh, that must have been way back.
You've done so many rescues, Chad.
There's so much, and it's always such a... It's usually like those Anini back channel ones. It turns into like a race between the fire department and their water-skilled guys and us, and let's like get there first, and it's so fun. But we get there. That one was probably at the back channel. It's a hot spot, Anini back channel.
Can over you the years, explain to our listeners? I don't mean to interrupt you. Because Chris said something about back channel, and I needed to say, what is back channel? Because even to residents, people I know, they go, what is back channel?
So it's at the end of Wanini Beach Road. So there's two ways to get there, and you can either drive down. and just like you're going to a Nini boat ramp, you just keep going. It's about 2 miles past that. The bad thing about it down there, there's no service. Once you hit that last stretch, you lose all service for phones and stuff. So those calls usually come in a little late.
Oh, that's
interesting. The other
interesting.
Act, yeah. For a trail from the Westin Hotel. Since they have cleared that trail and allow people and mark it, it's even on all trails. It's like a trail map app that people have. It has the trail in there. So the problem is when people walk down to these, to our beaches, especially with the reefs and the lagoons and stuff, is the prettiest spot is the dark blue water, and that's where they all want to go. And it's dark blue because it's deep. Usually that's where you're going to find all your strongest currents. All the water wants to go to that spot. So people see that, and that's where they want to swim. They don't want to swim in 2 feet of water. They want to swim that lush aqua color blue.
Oh, that's interesting. And, so the back channel is one of those areas. Is there other areas on the North Shore that you would say has that deep water that people are going to?
Well, that they can see, because when you walk down from that hotel, you know, it looks right. Beautiful. There's only one place you want to swim. So when you come down, you definitely head out in the wrong direction. And all the water helps you, you know. Larson's is another dangerous beach. It is just too dangerous anytime there's surf there. The currents are just insane. It's dangerous for tourists, for visitors, for residents.
Could you tell us where Larson's Beach is?
It's towards the east side. It's off Molawa Road, Kolau Road, actually, next to Pilaha, which is another thing. It's a little harder to get to, so we don't usually get calls down there. But Larson's is just dangerous. It takes us 45 minutes by jet ski to get there. That's how far away from it is from us, and that's pretty fast speed, probably about a 21-23 mile per hour ride. It's usually against big surf.
Yeah, and it's an unguarded beach. What about Lumahai?
Lumahai it's right there on the road. It's a danger, you know. It's easily visible, the bridge there. The water looks green, looks beautiful. There are so many tourists down there every day, and that's all they want to do is cross the river, walk on the rocks, and sometimes they don't make it across the river and get sucked out. They want to jump in the water. The only good thing about Lumahai is there's usually some boys down there that, you know, are young surfers or off-duty firemen that are down there with their families, and they end up doing a lot of the saves and stuff. Another beach with no service, so it's hard. And we do have a kiosk down there that put up with KLA's help. Fire Department Kalani installed it, and it's great. And it's actually undamaged. It's right there, center of the beach. As soon as you walk up, and it tells exactly what the dangers are, where the rip current is.
Well, that's great.
Locals only. A lot of that isn't to do with not wanting visitors there. It's just too dangerous. There's just some people that drown there every year. I mean, 99% of them are visitors. The residents do. I mean, we as residents probably push the envelope a little bit more. So, I mean, these statistics that some are, you know, drownings of non-swimmers, but some are extreme athletes and extreme divers and OPE pickers. Kauai is the watermen up there here, and they're pushing their limit. Sometimes the waves are too big, too dangerous. Down towards Haena, you know, everywhere's dangerous. Wainiha Bay, we have calls over there. Cape Puhi Point, towards the colony, there's some really strong rip currents there. Down by Camp Naue, there's really strong rip currents. All these spots are unguarded. There are signs up. The North Shore is just so small that now all the good beaches are taken up. There's no parking, so people filter out and they find all these other secluded beaches and they do get in trouble.
Well, that's a really good point. That's exactly right.
Indeed. Thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio. You're listening to Deep Dive into Water Safety, and we've got a live interview with Chad Lissman. He's one of our rockstar lifeguards on the North Shore here, and he's giving us
Lieutenant Chad Lissman,
and he's giving us a lot of great information. I'm Radio Annie. I'm in studio with Margaret Wright.
So, Chad, maybe we should start talking about all the positive things that are going on here. So could we start with the Junior Lifeguard Program, the Keiki and Junior Lifeguard Program? Could you tell us more about that and when it's happening on Kauai and Hanalei, or the schedule of that program?
Yes, I don't have the actual schedule right now, but they're finishing up their last day today in Hanalei. There's about 100 kids down there, 50 keiki, ages 8 to 11, above that, or ages 8 to 12, I think, and then 13 to 17, the juniors. totally. They're servicing about 600 kids. It's been going on for, gosh, 20 years. KLA helps donate to it, and I've kept it running, gosh, as long as I can remember. They're just showing them life-saving skills, CPR, how to rescue, what to do, how to call 911. The kids are really stoked on it, and it really helps us. It trains these kids to get help, to understand that maybe they shouldn't go in the water, or if they do have the ability, they can. It's sold out 5 minutes every time it comes up every year.
That's right, because we don't have enough of those programs or enough ability to handle them. I'm looking at the schedule, and so you're right. This is the last day for Hanalei Pavilion, and then the 23rd through the 27th is Kalapaki, and then back to Salt Pond again, correct? So they go back.
Yes.
So July 7th through 11th is Salt Pond, and the 14th through the 18th is Hanalei Pavilion, and 21st through 25th is Kalapaki. So I know that on the Kauai Lifeguard Association website, you can sign up for that probably at kauai.gov.
The sign-ups happen May 1st or something. It really signs.
Oh, everybody, I see. Signs. So the sign-up for all those dates happened in the first, and now they're all sold out, is what you're saying. They're all filled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to buy tickets for a concert or a big game or something.
Right.
It's hard. You get in and you have to attach paperwork and stuff, and then you have to get your other kid in, and it's rough.
So we need more of these water safety programs. That's what I'm thinking.
We do more. Right now, we're lucky we can do it in the summer months because it's a little less activity for us in the ocean environment, so we can help with pain and prevention on this other side of it, because it does strap our manpower. These are lifeguards and the training department taking time, working on their days off, just trying to help out. Everybody's pulling extra weight now. I've even worked the beaches a couple days so my guards can go and help out with that. So
you need more lifeguards.
We need more lifeguards. We need more classes. They have in the past, it's been one side per week, like one district per week. I think they added the last couple of years, they added two in each district and probably cut out other smaller town areas. They did have one at Anini during the floods, so the Kilauea kids could get there and the Hanalei kids could get to the one in Hanalei. But after the last one in Kalapaki, they do have the island championships, and they do the kids are all competitive. That's Kauai's style. Work so hard and they challenge each other. They do pick a junior lifeguard team. I think they pick 24 kids. And this year's state event is on Maui. So they're trying to get over for that too.
In the water safety plan, Kauai is recognized for having this amazing junior lifeguard program. So that's great. But as you identified, we need more water safety programs available to kids during the summer. And we do need to have water safety in the schools, which we were talking to Chris about also.
Do you find that there's much, like, junior lifeguards will then be inspired and enter lifeguarding as a career? And or is the function just to make them better water people so that they can be lay people that respect the ocean and do it well?
Both. It gives them skills too, so they can be safe and they can protect themselves in the water. I mean, I took junior guards from Coach O. Must have been, I think our swim test was swimming around the pier and back into shore, and that was rough for me when I was a kid. I think I was probably 10 years old or something when I took junior lifeguards.
So junior lifeguards is long. Like, we've been doing it for a long time then.
Pools, through the pools, one of the swim coaches used to teach it. And then the newer one right now is really set up a lot better, and the training's better.
Improved on it year by year, right, from what people learn?
They do. We have one Kavai Davis is one of our junior guards. I think Matt Milbrand did junior guards. There's a lot of lifeguards working and firemen that have grown up doing junior guards.
That is great. I love that inspires a career, especially when there are staffing challenges for our lifeguard program, to inspire people to go into this career that's essentially care.
Well, they've started an internship program, correct? Isn't that...
They have started internship. They have to be 18 before they can actually get hired. There is kind of an internship going, and the interns are actually helping train the junior guards right now. So prevention and training, you know, Lieutenant Cleve Zarbog and Captain Kaleo Lopez, they're initiated that this first year, and the kids are awesome. their expert level CPR skills, and they're helping with the classes. It's only going to get better.
It
definitely helps with our power and stuff, utilizing these junior guards as trainers also, and it kind of builds them up to more. And next year when they turn 18, boom, they're going to be right there.
Thanks for that. I also want to ask a question about, like, we've got the new lifeguard tower in the works at Juanini Beach. Tell us about that and why it's important.
Yes, that will be very, currently they do work out of a truck. It's more of a roving patrol. As their supervisor, I allow them to be anywhere on that Juanini Road. They can set up shop anywhere they want. They're fully mobile. They do only have a truck, two surfboards, and full medical kit and stuff. They don't have ATVs or jet skis or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great to add when manpower does, when that tower gets in there.
Do you know when it's getting, when the tower is supposed to be there?
No, you know, these towers are built on the mainland. They're expensive. They were on back order. Keep waiting for the budget to finally be able to afford it. When it does come, it will help. It'll keep our guards dry. It'll give them a little bit elevated surveillance platform. It'll give people more of a site to go to. Right now, they could be either there at back channel in Eni or at back channel in Eni. They do make checks down there. Usually the population of visitors down there is really light. There'll be a few families on the beach, so we don't really spend that much time down there. We spend it mostly at the boat ramp area, the main part of Eni where the county park is, and we can just watch more visitors. Even though it's a spot, people do get in trouble there.
Well, everybody comes to snorkel there. We tell them all to go see the turtles and everything else, correct?
Yeah, and some have problems in 3 to 5 feet of water. So we did do a medical there that I got lucky enough to be on, and it was insane. We worked on her for so long, 25 minutes probably, CPR. I mean, it looked bad. I've never worked on somebody that much, that long, and have her make a full recovery. She made it. We performed high-performance CPR, nonstop compressions, Medic 2-2, which is our North Shore medic. Our medic was out transporting somebody to the hospital, a different call, and we had to wait for the medic from Kapaa to come.
Wow.
So we got lucky. I mean, Kevin Kwaihala was there, and he's just a cowboy, and he took over, and we saved her. She walked out of the hospital 2 days later. I didn't think she was viable the whole time, but that just proves
Was she snorkeling?
She was snorkeling with her family. One of our guards was on a workout swim, and he saw a little bit of a commotion. So he went over there and grabbed her, brought her in. We saw what was going on, so we responded from the boat channel area, and this went right to the boat ramp area. So it's only about 300 meters away, but had about three guys working, taking turns on compressions and breath. Two sons standing there. A mom was bad in color, and she was not there. Somehow we brought her back.
That's a really good story, Chad. The ending is, at least.
CPR nowadays is just, it's so crazy. Pico and I had one at the soccer field in Hanalei, and that guy dropped, and we responded, took turns with all the other first responders. That came up on Pulse Point. So all the lifeguards kind of attacked it from all different angles. We had one running across the street. We had one on a mule responding on a mule. I responded by a truck.
That was is that a recent?
That was recent. Yeah, that was about 3 months ago or so.
Right.
Same thing. Wife there with two small kids. I didn't think he had a chance. Came in as a fainting, and it turned into a CPR within a minute.
So that's a good example of Pulse Point.
So the Pulse Point, if you are a first responder linked on there and it's a CPR in progress, you get a different tone. It just doesn't send you a message. It sends you almost like a call. Lets you know this is an immediate response, that they really do need help. So with Pico's kit that he's talking about, I kind of threw him that football. I said run with it because I'm so busy with all my other stuff. That will help us to, like, we will have on equipment in our loadout gear in our personal vehicle, so when that does hit, or if we're at home, we can respond and hopefully save people.
Watchtower. Tell us something about Watchtower, which is your high-tech piece. Watchtower.
Oh, Watchtower is, we've gone from paper to a digital stats and recording of surf heights and beaches and safe stuff. We're still you know, working the bugs out and stuff and trying to make it better. But it's a way we can log down stats, rescues, public contact. It helps us have more of an accurate stuff to where if we need more guards, we can ask, you know, hey, what have you guys been doing all day?
Better communication. And so what is safebeachday.com? Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Safebeachday.com. That, I have little knowledge on that. When we put all our stats in to Watchtower, it gives them the safest beach that you
yes,
could,
that's you, correct.
So I think we have a mutual friend that actually talked to me about it the other day. It sounds great. We don't put in the information. They get it from NOAA Weather. It's different than the Watchtower I have. I have a data logging Watchtower app, so I don't see that one, or I haven't seen that one yet.
So that's just for residents and visitors to figure out where the best beaches for that day to go, where the tides mm-hmm. are and everything.
Yeah, it changes and gives them a better spot to go. So right. they can, any visitor too, you know, like Pico was saying, well, we want to talk to you. We want you to come up. You can actually come up and we can call another tower, or we can send you verbally to wherever the safest area is too. Whether you're on the south side and you want to come north, and we're trying to get it digital. There's just so much people and it's easier. Everything's on your phone.
What about a QR code on the lifeguard tower?
That is something that I believe Watchtower is also doing. We haven't started that yet. I think some spots in California that have been using Watchtower a little bit longer than us,
right?
They have a QR code, and that'll pull up the beach and all the hazards and stuff. Basically, the kiosk will come up, and it'll show the rip current there at that specific beach, where to swim, where not to swim.
How cool. impressed I am that Kauai lifeguards are using technology in order to keep people safe. Thank you for using the tools that are out there for us.
There's just one more I would got to ask you,
one
Chad.
One more, okay.
The UH Manoa, are they going to be doing anything on the back channel about studying rip currents, or is it more about putting a camera there so the guards can see if people are there? Do you have any information on that?
It's a partnership. We're trying to have a partnership with UH. They want to study a rip current. So I believe they contacted our chief, and he proposed, like, hey, we can, how about this? Things are moving. They're in the plans of possibly getting a permit, getting a site for the camera. For it to work for UH, it has to be at a certain angle so they can study it more or less straight on. The other thing is we're going to have some type of service. So we got to figure out some type of cell service because it is kind of a dead zone down there. So there's a few things that need to come together, but it is on the way. It sounds good. It will be, and this will give us we'll be able to utilize the camera. I'm guessing it'll be like a beach cam for pretty much anybody to use. I'm not sure on that, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like an essential place to do their study, you know, that you can also use it as a safety tool. That's great.
And then hopefully service of it, maybe if there's some type of service that that's catching, maybe there'll be some type of service that you can catch from your phone right by mm-hmm. it, so you can call 911 or maybe
that's a good point. I forgot to mention Chad is a member of the Kauai Lifeguard Association board, plays a critical role, and is involved in a lot of nonprofit volunteer efforts that help support KLA also. So
fantastic.
Thank you for that, Chad.
Thank you. So we've got about 2 minutes left in our show. Chad, is there anything that you would want to tell listeners about water safety?
There's one other thing that at Kauai Beach, we do have a Starlink set up, and we set this up every day. And it does help us with communications at Kauai Beach. So if you are at Kauai Beach, there's Wi-Fi there.
Oh, that's great.
Turn on your phone, you can connect, walk up to the tower. You can, if you need help, you can call 911, notify people that you're off the trail.
That's very
good. 9 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we do have that set up. I think that was a partnership between the state and the county to put that up. Probably Joel Guy and LA Initiative probably did something with that too. It's awesome. It helps us collect data, because we were losing data out there. It was just falling through the cracks, not having time. But
I am just
awesome.
Right, stoked on the use of technology in safety. It's amazing.
Kauai is identified as the county that uses technology more than any place else
This
water safety plan.
How proud of us I am. So, Chad, thank you so much for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio today. I appreciate your time. and your expertise for everything. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chad. As always, you're a legend. We appreciate all the information you gave us today.
Yeah.
Keep us safe.
If there's information that you want the island to know about with water safety conditions, remember KKCR, and we can make PSAs and things like that about that.
So. As Annie said, we're going to do a pulse point PSA here at KKCR. Yeah.
I just downloaded the app, and I think, like, how valuable is this? So,
awesome. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you for all the support, and please keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And thank you for listening to Kauai Community Radio. This has been the second episode of Deep Dive into Water Safety. That was just Lieutenant Chad Lisman, who is one of our rock star lifeguards. I've had Margaret Wright in the studio here. She's a board member on the Kauai Lifeguard Association and sort of the mastermind impetus behind a water safety show. Partnering with KKCR because we think it's the right thing to start these conversations to address a problem in our community, and that problem is that drowning is preventable.
And I forgot to mention that it was Chad's idea that he brought up to the Kauai Lifeguard Association board to have a podcast on water safety.
Good. So. Yes, and you'll be able to find this as a podcast very soon. You'll also be able very soon to find this at the KKCR archives at kkcr.org.